going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Sports Radio 929 The Game and 929TheGame.com. Nine flows up in the Kia Studios into the 9 o'clock hour. Sam Crenshaw joined by Jason Longshore. Good morning, Georgia.
Good morning.
And morning to the fine folks in Palmetto. You've been down there before.
I have. I'm trying to place something unique about Palmetto.
They got the last new postal sorting place.
Really?
Oh, that Palmetto. That place was making some bad news. Oh,
okay.
There's some stuff. They was getting people stuff late down there. But I mean, I hope they got that all cleared up.
I'm sure they did.
Yeah, fine people down there.
Yes.
I mean, it's as far as you can go, I think, in Fulton County before you get to Coweta. I think it's right up almost.
Yeah, it's in that weird little.
Below Fairburn, almost right up against the line there. So shout out to all the good folks down in Palmetto. Hope y'all having a great. And we're playing it in the background because today is Herbie Hancock's birthday. You know, Greg always talks about people whose birthdays they are, you know, and different people. Well, today is Tiny Tim's birthday.
There's a few, actually.
You know, Tiny Tim, he left us back in 96. Mm-hmm. David Cassidy was born on this day, and some other people.
Shannon. It's a good music birthday, music trivia day.
Okay.
It's a good date for it.
Good date. Herbie Hancock, 85 years old, 85 candles. So shout out to him. How you doing, man? Great. As promised, Jason Longshore has joined us.
You're stuck with me now.
And I'm happy that he could get here because, I mean, this guy is busy every day, every night. Dude, who keeps your calendar for you, man?
Man, me, my phone. So many different, on my phone.
Your calendar is like just booked, and then the calendar that's booked is booked.
And busy. Yes,
yeah, that's
me.
A good thing. Yeah,
but look, I mean, we've got Atlanta United in season, and we've got a match this afternoon. You've got the tail end of the high school season going on right now.
Right.
Teams are trying to get into the postseason. You've got everything World Cup related that is starting to bubble up. You've got people coming to visit. You've got all kinds of announcements of things happening. You've got Club World Cup games coming this summer.
Right.
There's always stuff around the world to know. It never stops.
Yeah, we're going to do a deep dive into it with you this morning. We're glad you made it through because you stopped by to visit us for a little time on your way to the Benz.
Yeah.
Because it's an afternoon kick. How does this make things different for you when you've got a kick in the afternoon? Because usually the matches are in the evening.
Yeah, it's weird. I remember kind of coming up with this idea when the Hawks, for whatever reason, a few years ago, had a lot of afternoon tips. And I feel like it's the same in soccer where early on in those games, it feels completely different. And just think about it. If you're a player, your routine is completely thrown off. You know, if you are, whether you're home or away, home teams, it's still weird. You know, you're getting up, you're at home, you're going in a whole lot earlier. Your whole, meal plan is different. You know, you get into a routine for a 7:30 game. All right, I'm going to eat at this time. I'm going to eat this. You know, if you play an early game, you're going to eat a pregame breakfast. And you might not want to eat the things that you probably need to eat for breakfast. Like, little things like that that, you know, it sounds like, oh, that's not that big of a deal to these athletes. It throws you out of your routine. And it's just awkward. Today, I mean, for me, I can adjust, but it does throw your rhythm off. You know, you wake up, and normally you wake up, you can kind of get caught up on the news, see if anything happened around the league. There's some trades that have gone down this week. Just get caught up on things, and you can take your time. not today. You know, I mean, kick is not that far away.
Yeah, absolutely.
No, yeah, right. I mean, it has to be the same for the players, right? Like, usually they'll probably get up and eat a light breakfast and have a little jog and do a little light thing on their own before they come in and work out with the team. All of that scrap. Like, what is it, 1:30 kick?
It's a 2:55 kick, actually. Okay. So 1:30 broadcast time for us with Abe Gordon and Madison Cruz getting you started. But 2:55 kick because the game's on Fox as well as Apple TV. So even that, like for us, that throws us off more than anything because, well, Abe and Maddie are going to have a lot to talk about in the pregame show.
Yeah.
So I'm sure they've got their material ready.
Fantastic, fantastic, fantastic to have this happening as part of a week. It's been spring break. A week, but as you alluded, there's still been some things happening as far as high school athletics going on this week. What's this week been like for you? And we've been talking about things. Obviously, it started early in the week with us talking about the basketball tournament, how that finished. And then we got the Masters down in Augusta. And we got Atlanta United coming up today.
Yeah.
And we got some spring football games, which to me, Noel and I talked about, it's been kind of low key. I mean,
it feels like those are not what they used to be.
Yeah.
I mean, when I was a kid, G-Day was massive. I remember going when I was really little. It's one of my earliest like sports memories. And it would have been Herschel Walker's junior year.
Okay.
When he was hurt with the thumb injury. So he didn't play in G-Day. And I cried the whole way home. Because, I mean, I was five. Like, I went to go see Herschel Walker.
Yeah.
And he was hurt. I remember Kirby's first G-Day. Huge.
Okay.
You know, they made the big thing about 90,000.
Right,
they got
right,
it.
Right.
Very cool.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do with these spring games now?
It's not even televised. The Georgia spring game is not going to be televised.
No, I mean, remember when the SEC Network launched and it's like, oh, we're going to have all the spring games on. Mm-hmm. And it's like back to back and it's you're tailgating
for
spring games.
That's what the SEC Network was doing. They had all the spring games. Like, I remember my dad would be on the UNC forum every day. Like, that's how I knew the season was starting. Like, oh, it must be the spring game. He's on the forum making sure all his opinions are known. So. It used to be a huge thing. Like, even if you weren't necessarily into college football, you knew that was a big earmarker of the season.
Now you've got players in negotiations for contracts to figure out if they're going to come back.
That is the big
story.
Is the big story today.
That's
is up
spring.
In Tennessee.
Yeah.
Tennessee is playing their spring game, and like their quarterback is like holding everybody hostage right now.
Was he trying to get to $4 million or something like that?
Yeah, it's.
It's a new world. Yeah, me and Sam was talking about it before we started the show. This is just a new landscape. Like, sports have changed so much in the last 5 to 7 years. We don't have a precedent for a lot of this stuff. Like, we're watching it as it happens. We're all guessing along.
But this was always important because it was another chance to get boosters and alums back on campus.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, it's a celebration.
Right,
it's not anything too
serious.
You
know what I mean? This is the chance to get them back on campus. You know, if they hadn't bought their season tickets, you had a chance to get that. Of course, people do that all online. That's so you don't have to come to the school.
Yeah, but it's their first taste, right? To get your appetite wet, to get you excited.
That's what it was. But, I mean, that's what I always felt like this time of year was about it's spring. You know, you want something to get your boosters and get your fans back on campus. If nothing else, most of the time the games are free, but you get to open up your concession stands.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I mean, so that's – and give people a feel
for
it.
Throw some merch out there.
Right, you're right. You're going to sell some merchandise, some new things. This is some
but
new things.
Here's the thing now. Like, if you're a $4 million a year quarterback, do you want to play in a spring game? Do you want to possibly get hurt?
Well, I want him to play. I want to play the guys. I'm setting my depth chart, though.
No, of course. Like, I think for coaches, they're going to find value in the day. That's
right.
That's what coaches do. Whatever training session you got, you're going to figure out how to make your team better. But if you're a fan, do I want to go watch the third, the fourth, the fifth string play? Because I don't want to get anybody hurt. Like, do I really want to go watch that?
And now we're talking about preseason football, right?
Yeah. Do we want to see that when it's the Falcons?
Yeah, exactly. Like now we're talking about preseason football. Like,
I
want to see
the part of it?
The revolving rotation of backups or like the AJ McCarrons of the world, or you know, do I just want?
Wow, AJ catching strays this morning.
Why did I just? I just remember him being a backup for 2 seconds. That's the only reason I threw that out there. Okay, I'll say Matt Schaub. I just remember him being a backup for 2 seconds.
You got a word expecting that this morning, were you?
AJ woke up like, what did I do? What happened? Why am I getting these strays right now?
But, you know, as Greg likes to say, you know, a lot of people, you know, back up 35 feet and punt and wait for week one. So,
yeah.
And it's kind of what we're looking at with this amateur sport not being so amateur, right?
Oh, it's like not amateur.
That's what comes with it now. Like, with money and great responsibility, you know, with great power comes great responsibility.
Mm-hmm. Dale McGee talked last night at the end of the Georgia State preseason game, a spring game, and he mentioned April 16th. April 16th is when the portal comes open again for college football. And I mean, he mentioned it because that's just reality. He's putting it out there. That's, you know.
That's the important date in the spring.
Yeah. Like,
the game don't matter anymore.
Yeah, and Jason hit the nail on the head. Like, okay, like, the coaches are going to get what they can get out of this. But, like, we heard Dale McGee say earlier, like, this is – I mean, we're doing great for what we got right now. We'll see if this stays the same or what happens when the portal opens.
End of the week, it might not be that group.
Right. That's just the reality. So I'm making the best of what I have right now, to Jason's point, and then we'll go from there because that's all we can do now. That's
the new landscape. What happens at Tennessee? Because there's somebody else that's watching this.
Yeah.
I promise you, there's some other player that's watching this.
Well, there's some other player, and then there's other schools watching it too.
Right.
I mean, look, if you're negotiating to bring this guy in and he's trying to find a number, I'd be willing to bet there's some other schools in those DMs saying, well, you want this?
Yeah.
We got it. Why don't you come over here?
But then you got the flip side of that, and you have Terrence Mann of the Atlanta Hawks, who is now an assistant GM for, I forget which school.
Well, I love that we have assistant GMs
exactly,
at schools now.
Right?
It's amazing.
Like, and we have two on the Hawks now.
Yeah.
So he's an assistant GM, and he was asked about NIL the other day, and he was like, you know, you got guys holding out for this amount and that amount, six, seven figures. Like, you're not that good. And I was like, oh, new assistant GM. He's looking at it from new eyes. So there's two sides of the coin.
Yep. I mean, and programs are going to have that because that's the guy that's going to deal with the money or mention the money so the coaches don't have to talk money anymore. Hopefully.
They don't have to talk about it publicly.
Yeah, unless coaches just want to do it, right?
You know some of them do.
Yeah.
Can I get on the soapbox for a second?
Come on.
To finish the segment.
Because you
brought up Georgia State. And, you know, we've got a connection with Georgia State. We're over there calling games and all the different sports. I'm really unhappy with what Georgia Tech did to Georgia State.
That is not cool.
I understand the financials of the business at this point, and it's a business, and I get it. But that is not cool to get the first leg of the agreement in your building and then hit the cancel button to get a better opponent.
Yeah.
When Georgia State needed that, it would have been huge for them, and that's bad business.
Yeah.
And look, you're going to make more money on it, but if you ever need anything locally again from a school down the street, you're never going to get it. And I think you lost some goodwill in it. It's just not a good look.
Everyone I talked to has been down on it. They really have been. And that was a disappointment. You were looking forward just to having that back over at Georgia State. Georgia State went out last year and played well in the game against Tech. And we're looking very much forward to it. Now they got to look for an opponent.
And it would have been great for Tech as well. Like, I think that's the other side of it is, you know, it comes off as a little elitist.
Yeah.
And it's a bad look because if you have that game at Center Park Stadium, you're going to have a whole ton of Tech fans there.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to get a cool experience. Yeah. They're going to get a cool road game experience down the street. And it's such a bad look for Georgia Tech.
But it also would bring out the Georgia State student
everybody.
Body because
it'd be
it is,
such an
right?
atmosphere.
You know, that was the thing, you know, and the Georgia State program is looking for those things that will galvanize the student body and get those students involved.
Well, honestly, really I think it would have brought Metro Atlanta out to see these two.
I would have been tempted to go to that.
Right.
I think it would have been really cool to see. And you would have had, for the first time maybe, for Tech to be able to go into somebody else's house.
And be the big dog.
And be the big dog and be able to point and show the pictures of your fans in that building taking it over.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody would have been talking about it. It's a bad look. And I think it's a big miss for Georgia Tech. Honestly, I think they lost out on a big opportunity.
I agree with you. Because to your point, it was a really easy way, to your point, to show a stadium being taken over, right?
Yeah.
Like, we talk about doing it to, like, the Titans or like, close places like that, the Panthers or whatever, and this is literally down the street and around the corner. You're barely getting on another highway to get over there to Center Park Stadium.
That's the thing. You can do some creative things with how you get to the game. You could do some
we
fun.
We could have had so much fun with this as a city.
You could have taken over your social media with everything about invading down the street and all those things.
And it's not a loss for Georgia State at all. If y'all win or take over or whatever, it's still a win for them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it would have been really good for college football within the city of Atlanta.
Really disappointed that happened. And I think it's going to end up hurting Tech more than they think.
Yeah, they think they made this game. And so Georgia State's got an opening. They're looking for an opponent. Anybody want to come play a game in 2026?
Grass ain't always greener.
Hey,
mm-hmm.
We'll see, right? That's coming up as we talk about spring football and the relevance or non-relevance, as it may be, as they get set to play some games today. All right, coming up next, we're going to talk some basketball, right? Caleb Johnson keeps an eye on all things Hawks as they get set to now play Orlando in their play-in game. That is coming up next. You got Sam, you got Jason, Noel, other side of the glass, here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. You got Sam and Jason with Noel Other Side of the Glass on this Saturday morning. So glad you are with us.
What's up, everybody? It's early for me. We have a game coming up in a few hours.
Yeah.
But the guy we're about to talk to had a game last night to cover.
Yeah.
And now he's got, I think, walk-on music thanks to Greg from last time I was here, where Greg thought that was Green Day, and I was very upset about it. And I know Caleb was as well.
Caleb Johnson, good morning.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Yeah, no, yellow card was so much a part of me growing up. I had an older sister who, you know, she was the type that, she was 6 years older than me, so introduced me to bands like that as I was growing up. So part of the nostalgia for me. So I'll take it as my walk-up music.
I think that might be it now.
You have it. Fantastic, fantastic. Always great to catch up with you, Caleb. Thoughts about this thing coming down the stretch with this Hawks team? We wanted to see them possibly climb up and get into a different spot. We saw that wasn't going to happen. They are in the eighth spot, and now we know who they're going to play next week, right?
Yeah, it's going to be Orlando, going to Orlando. So that's it's not good news for the Hawks, if we're completely honest, because the last time you saw this Orlando team, there were two things working against you. A, you don't have the size that Orlando has, and because of that, this caused Quinn Snyder to get creative, maybe not in the creative way that I would be creative with this roster, in trying to figure out, okay, what's the best way to have size and actually use it, because I think we've seen the Hawks play Orlando in the past when they were a little bit healthier, and it still didn't necessarily matter because officiating got in the way. And I know, you know, Jason, you can start getting into officiating when it comes.
Here we go.
When it comes to Atlanta United, like I know it's easy for us. As people who cover and talk about these teams to blame officiating as an excuse for why a team didn't perform. However, if you guys remember back to the not the most recent time that the Hawks played the Magic, but the time before that, there was literally an issue where officials decided, hey, we don't like Trae Young and we don't like the Hawks because of the way that Trae was talking to officials. Because he was trying to get his team was trying to match their physicality, Orlando's physicality, and they weren't allowed to do so. So there was actually a point where Trae came to the podium post game and was like, I had one of the female officials come to me and say, I enjoy giving out fouls and I enjoy making it difficult for you. Fast forward to playing Orlando this last time, and officials just decided, hey, Orlando can be as physical as they want to be. They can, push and pull and just essentially do whatever they want, especially once you start getting into the paint. And we're not going to call anything on Orlando, but when the Hawks try to match that physicality, because that's the only way to stick in the game, because they weren't shooting the ball particularly well, they're just going to be unable to do so. And it becomes a frustrating thing where I think Trae Young has matured so much over the last couple of years in how he deals with officials. But the problem that he's pointed out is he's like, these guys don't let me grow up. He was like, you know, essentially, I don't know that he's as much said that he's made mistakes in the past, but I think we all could say that he's made mistakes in the past as far as being too brash with officiating. But it feels like as he's matured, and normally, you know, as that happens in an NBA career where you start, you know how to call fouls on a guy, and those things evolve over time as a guy gets better. It feels like Trae hasn't gotten that respect. It feels like the Hawks haven't gotten that respect. And so that was a big issue, a big part of why they lost this, you know, both times to Orlando these last couple of times. And so Sunday won't be like that because Sunday, I mean, neither team are going to be impacted by the outcome of the game. So it's just going to be a, hey, let's not give away any of our strategy when we see this same team on Tuesday. Yeah. But Tuesday is going to be interesting because it's going to be playoff style calls when it comes to fouls. And I just hope that both sides can get them equally. Because if not, I have a hard time seeing the Hawks being able to advance because of all of that.
I think the frustrating thing when it comes to the way referees will call a game, you know, we can sit here and gripe. And I actually think soccer and basketball are very similar in terms of the impact that referees can have, because there's a lot of subjectiveness on what's a foul and what's not a foul. I think what you look at, because we can gripe about this call or that call, that's not the issue, because referees, the best, will still miss calls. It happens. Sure. They're humans. It's the way that you call a game and the way you affect a game, not with one call, but the way you manage a game. And when you've got referees having that kind of conversation with Trae Young, that shouldn't be happening. When you've got it one-sided one way or the other, that shouldn't be happening. All that being said, you go into this playoff game, and I'm with you, tomorrow won't be anything outside of just getting guys minutes and keeping them fresh. You go into this playoff game, and you know that there's the potential for Orlando being able to, you know, beat you up a little bit. How can the Hawks find another way to create some danger for the Magic?
I think they've got to outshoot them. I think that's the one thing that this last time when they played the Magic, Orlando very uncharacteristically was shooting the three really well. I think they are, over the course of the season, they're like a 31% three-point shooting team. The Hawks are much better than that. So it's one of those, you've got to shoot the ball much better than you have against this team in the past. I think a big part of that is relying on, like, a guy like George Niang coming off the bench and being able to knock down threes is going to be crucial for them. Trey having his shot, because we've seen him kind of go back and forth with, you know, hot shooting nights versus kind of going on some cold streaks, and where he comes to the podium and talks to us and is like, you know, it's going to get fixed. Like, it's not going to stay this way. I think that was something that was actually, it was good to see the last time they did play Orlando, was the fact that Trey came out of the gate shooting the ball. Like, normally Trey is the type of player, and he said as much after games, that he likes early on to get his teammates involved. That way, when, you know, when the lights are the brightest and the game starts getting down towards the end, towards fourth quarter, that he can hit those shots, and he likes to be able to rely on his teammates. That way, you know, guys have to guard differently. The spacing is more equal, and what you want to see. And all of those things only work if you're shooting the ball well. You know, if you're having tough nights, then Trey's going to get double teamed come the fourth quarter, and there's going to be less of those opportunities for the Hawks to get involved. But it's one of those, like make no mistake, even though, you know, Orlando is a team that matchup-wise doesn't play particularly, that doesn't go well in the Hawks' favor. It's one game. It's not like the Hawks have to play the Magic in a series. I would not like the Hawks in a series with Orlando because of that physicality. However, you get a hot shooting night and you can advance. However, the good thing about this whole play-in setup is that even if you lose to the Magic, you still have a really good opportunity of what I would expect to be Chicago advancing between that Chicago and Miami matchup. It feels like Miami's kind of they've you know thrown in the towel to focus on next season, and I think Chicago's still young enough that they have something to fight for. So you still have two opportunities to advance, which is very different than if you had fallen into that 9-10 seed. You would be, you know, this would be one game to advance.
Yeah, well, spending time on the waitfor.com hotline is one with Caleb Johnson. Keeps an eye on all things with the Hawks, and he is social. You can find him at ATL Johnson 18 and ATL Johnson 18. Quickly, around the league, just a couple of things. What is up with these coaches being fired just days before the playoffs start in Memphis and out in Denver? What are we looking at? Because no matter how bad things are, to me, it almost rules out those teams having any chance. I mean, if you're going to do something like that right before the playoffs start. I don't know how you're feeling about it.
And that's what's crazy is I think it was actually the two teams, I think their front offices, or I guess I should say ownership in Denver's case, because they fired the front office, I think they have different philosophies in what's going on. I think in Memphis, it was a situation where I found out through reaching out to some friends and reading different things that the Grizzlies brought in this assistant coach that they named as interim in the offseason. Like, they let go of most of Taylor Jenkins' staff in the offseason, which I think was a very quiet storyline that did not get enough attention, because if all of your guys are getting let go and the ownership and front office is picking your staff, then you have to be constantly watching your back. And now Taylor Jenkins was known as a player coach, and I think over the course of the season you saw that being less and less effective part of his coaching style as this team kind of came off the rails and went from, they were a 2 seed at one point in the West. And, the fact that you're able to drop down, even though I get it, like, the West is super competitive, but going from being a 2 seed in the West to an 8 seed, just one of those, like, hey, you can't have that happening. And I think the Grizzlies front office and ownership had decided they had this, like, phenom international coach that they brought in to be Taylor Jenkins' assistant. And I think that was the planned long term, because I'm assuming they must like his coaching philosophy, his X's and O's sort of thing that they want to bring into the game. Now, over in Denver, that's a situation where I could not understand why you fire Michael Malone. And then they follow it up by firing Calvin Booth.
Yeah.
And I, like so many others, was going, that's the one that you should have been taking care of. You should have been firing the GM who put nothing around Nikola Jokic, and instead they fired both of them. It sounds like ownership had been trying to deal with both of these guys, and they had kind of created their own camps within the organization and were pitted against one another. And so ownership just looked around and was like, hey, we're getting rid of everybody in here. I don't think it's their best decision, because I think it pushes a guy like Jokic to look at, hey, I want to go, win championships when I'm in my prime, so I might go somewhere else. It could definitely backfire in their face with them, just trying to eliminate all problems rather than hearing people out and figuring out, what's the best direction to go. Because they got a championship coach in Michael Malone, and now he's on the market, so I'm sure some team is going to be scooping him up pretty quick.
Yeah, just a little drama before we start the playoffs. Just a little something, some little backstories. But we'll keep an eye on those, as well as the Hawks, as they get to play tomorrow, their final home game of the regular season, and then the play-in coming up next week. Caleb, we appreciate you spending some time with us, as always, this morning. Look forward to seeing you at the games over at State Farm. Let's see if we can get some wins here.
All right, you guys have a good one.
Thanks, Caleb.
All right, Caleb Johnson getting us all set for the Hawks. And is it strange to fire coaches in Memphis and Denver right before you start the playoffs? What do you expect the team to do if you're doing
nothing?
Right.
They just want it done.
I
hate that move.
Yeah, I mean, you couldn't wait until the end of the playoffs to do it. Anyway, hey, that's what they did. Gives us something else to watch as we get set for the postseason to begin for the NBA. All right. Stay with us. Top of the hour, we're going to start doing a deep dive into Atlanta United, because Jason is here. There are a lot of things, not just Atlanta United, but things about soccer down here. How about that, folks? Because there's so much that is happening down here with the sport that is coming up the next hour. You stay with us on this Saturday morning on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
Since the dawn of Major League Baseball, every player has honed their unique skills.
Judge, drill deep to left.
Ohtani connects and it's gone.
Skeen strikes out the side.
Bobby Witt Jr. throws in time.
Harper does it again.
Witness the hills of the game in ballparks nationwide. Get your tickets today at MLB.com/tickets. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today.
And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. You got Sam and Jason, and we got some Stevie Wonder.
It was on this day in 1973 that Stevie paid a visit to Sesame Street.
Whoa.
And played this.
Nice.
I mean, come on. Sesame Street was cool back in the day.
Yeah, man.
Sesame, you got Stevie stuff showing up and dropping Superstition. Come on.
Hey, that's Sesame Street still cool. Elmo was just hanging out with SZA.
Oh, I missed that.
Yeah, SZA was teaching them about gratitude.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah, Sesame like Street still got it.
Sesame Street, man, they a lot cooler than you think.
Yeah, down through the years, though, that's been a lot of things. It's been, you know, you talk about different shows. That's just an honor to be invited to be a part of. Mm-hmm. That is an honor, you know, to be invited to be a part of that.
Yep. It's very cool what they do. And, I mean, I grew up on Sesame Street. That was my generation. We were talking about that earlier. Sesame Street and Mr. Rogers were my two shows as a little kid.
That was it? That was it? I was a little before that.
Rainbow.
What? Really?
Well, funny enough, I really only stayed for the theme song. And then by
that's
the time, you know,
song,
the synopsis started, I was gone because I was actually reading books. But, yeah, the theme song hit, though.
It was a good theme
song. Shout out to LeVar Burton.
You talk about music for kids, Schoolhouse Rock. Come on now. Schoolhouse Rock was great.
Yep, absolutely.
And then they did, like, in the 90s, they did the, I can't remember if it was, it was a whole compilation album with, like, 90s alternative bands covering the Schoolhouse Rock songs. And see, like, 3 has always been my lucky number. That was what I wore when I played soccer. So 3 is the magic number. I think it was Blind Melon who covered it then. Love it.
Was it?
Yes. 3 is the magic number. Come on.
See.
Come on. You don't know Blind Melon, Sam.
I don't know Blind Melon. great to have that. Great to have that. And just leaves on this Saturday morning. Glad that things are well with you around the area. I hope, you know, it's not a cloud in the sky. As people get out. Beautiful day to get out. And
it's a good day to go tailgate.
It is. You know, what time? Yeah. And that's the other thing. What time does that get started today?
Probably now.
Yeah.
I mean, look, it's a.
But you put something different on the menu if you're tailgating for Atlanta United. Right?
You do. You have to change it up. I mean, when I had Falcon season tickets and we tailgated, the 1 o'clock kicks had a different menu than the night kicks, the primetime kicks those. You know, you're going all out on the primetime ones. The early ones, the 1 o'clock, your breakfast. Breakfast on the grill. Nothing wrong with that.
No, not at all.
That is a good tailgate. This is kind of in between. You can go, you can start with a little breakfast. You can go brunch. You can go lunch. Because kicks at 2:55.
Okay.
You got a lot of flexibility.
Man.
I would be willing to bet in lot 17, there are some supporters already singing, already watching games from all over the world.
Yeah.
And those grills are fired up.
Now.
Yes.
Okay. It's not even 10 o'clock yet. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. Okay.
It's all good.
You're down there.
Others are going to be at a pub watching Premier League. They'll watch the 10 o'clock kickoff.
Right.
And then make their way down at noon. And you got all kinds of options. There's going to be some who their kids are playing this morning. So they're probably on a sideline somewhere in a park around the metro area. Hopefully not yelling at referees because the referees in the kids' games.
They tend to do that.
Lay off of them.
Hey.
Yell at the referee today. In Mercedes-Benz Stadium, if you want to, that's fine. Don't throw anything. We've seen too much of that. Don't throw anything at all. But don't yell at the kids' referees. Save that for the pros.
Okay. We don't want to run them off. We got a shortage.
We need more referees.
We have a shortage as it is, right? You know, so, hey, we want them to be encouraged. We want them to be encouraged.
Yeah, they're learning. They're working at it.
That's what we're doing.
The pros, you can have a little bit to say.
They're getting paid more.
Yeah.
Those guys. You talk about tailgating, and you mentioned Falcons, and, you know, the one thing that we continue to watch as far as the Falcons goes, you know, is what happens with the quarterback we have. And is he going to stay? Is he going to go? Kirk Cousins. And been the big thing when people say in Cleveland. I guess not Cleveland now because Cleveland has gone and they made this signing. Joe Flacco coming to that up there. So that's one other place that he could have gone as we continue to watch Aaron Rodgers, you know, continue to hold people hostage.
Am I wrong in saying that I just don't care?
Yeah.
Like, he's not going to start here. I don't care at this point. The money's spent. You know, could you – is there moves that help your cap a little bit? I'm sure. You took the gamble. You did. You took two gambles. You had to. You signed Kirk Cousins, and most everybody said that was a good gamble to take. Didn't work out. He got hurt. You then took an even bigger gamble, and everybody blew up the phones, blew up everybody about it, drafted Michael Penix.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that gamble paid off. And now you've got that guy. He's the guy. I don't care what happens with Kirk Cousins. Don't be a distraction. And I don't think that he will be. in the locker room if it works out.
We're saying it's OTAs. He's not coming to OTAs.
That's
right?
Fine. I don't care.
Good, that's fine. I don't care. See why. Yeah. Why?
He doesn't need to. That's fine.
That's fine.
If
somebody else will say he's drawing a check, ain't he?
I could care less. Okay. My issue is this. If he's in the locker room when game one starts and he's a problem, then I got a problem. If he's in the locker room and he's holding a clipboard and he's the backup and he's sitting there because you couldn't find a spot for him, whatever. Fine. That's your guy's Michael Penix.
Yep.
That's the story. What can he do to be better this year? How can you make this his team? That's what I want to see. That should be the conversation.
That's what we're watching for, and to see what happens. Now, Justin Simmons obviously is someone the Falcons, you know, had playing a prominent role last season. We've seen them starting to re-sign some of the secondary from last season. He had these thoughts, though, on the team going forward, especially the quarterback situation.
Training camp. That was my third day of practice. Literally third day being there, he was running the second team reps and going up against the second team defense. And he had this no-look throw down the sideline into – it was the craziest throw I think I've ever seen in person. And I was like, oh, he has whatever it is. He has it. So I'm excited to see what he does.
Yeah, I mean, to Jason's point, yeah, this is your quarterback.
That's
like,
the guy.
Like Justin Simmons just said, I mean, he saw the dumbest throw he ever seen in person in life. And I think the rest of us felt the same way with that sideline throw to Red in that second game. And you could see where Drake London was open over the middle, and he was open, and he just takes that incredible shot down the sideline, put it only where Red could get it. And that was really like the, oh.
Yeah. He had a few of those moments in his time. And the story for me is you sit down with Michael Penix and you say, how do we make this team yours? What do we do to get the best out of you? Who are your guys you want to roll with? And to me, the bigger question, because Cousins is going to get dealt with one way or another, or he's going to be a backup. It's just, I don't like how he handled it. I'm not a fan of that. I was very disappointed in how he's handled some elements of it.
Yeah.
But he's got to protect himself, too, and his business, and I get it. That's fine. I don't like it, but whatever. The question for me that's more important is Kyle Pitts.
Yeah.
And what do you do there? Can you bring him into the fold and get the best out of him? Does he have that relationship with Penix? Are they going to be on the same page and get what we've always thought you could get on a regular basis out of Pitts? If you can't, you need to move on.
Does it help the fact that we found out, I think, a few days ago that Matt Ryan will be like a mentor in Penix's ear? And the fact that one of the positives of Matt Ryan in his declining time here was that, you know, Pitts came in and they kind of connected.
Yeah.
So, I mean, does that help? You think that will help do that, right?
It could. It should. And I love that Matt Ryan's going to be that mentor. And that even more so, I don't really get hung up on what happens with Cousins. Because if Ryan's going to – if you don't need Cousins to be a good mentor here and be a good veteran and support the young guy, cool. You got Matt Ryan to do that. You're fine. So,
right, because it sounds like Ryan's going to be all in the camp.
Yeah.
Like Penix, he's going to take Penix out to California and do those things with him. But, Jason, I think you hit the nail on the head when you mentioned, like, who are your guys, Mike, and what do you need to be successful?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that Kyle Pitts is that outlier. I think for him, he's seeing Kyle Pitts as somebody that's going to help him go to the next level and be successful. So I'm hoping that that's a symbiotic relationship.
Yeah.
That he helps Penix grow and Penix helps him, you know, continue to look phenomenal and amazing and all those other adjectives that we here want to put on Penix. I truly think, you know, if they can tweak some of the ways that they want to use Kyle Pitts, because in my opinion, they try to make him this rugged possession receiver that he's not. Like,
he's
kind of like a pretty boy tight end, right? But if you get him in space and you get him open and he can catch the ball, like, he can just sprint away from everybody.
Yep.
And that's valuable too, right? Like, that's what we want to see from the DJ Metcalfs of the world and things. Like, just be big, block guys out, take the ball, and find the end zone. And if you can put him in the best position to do that, and we've seen a little bit of that, which is why we're so bullish on, you know, we can figure this thing out, right? Like, if we can figure that out and get that more consistently, you have – I mean, you already have an offense anyway, but now you really have a formidable offense.
you sit down with Michael Penix and you start to scheme it, and you obviously Bijan's going to be a massive part of that.
Absolutely.
Drake's going to be a big part of that. And you sit down and you say, you know, what do you see out of Pitts? What do you see out of the tight end position? Because in this league, your quarterback needs to have every weapon that he can have to win, because that's what's going to drive it. And if Michael Penix feels like Kyle Pitts makes him better and makes this team better, cool. You roll with it and you see what happens. If he doesn't, you move on and you get him one more weapon. You get him one more. And, you know, you'd like to deal with Cousins quicker rather than later, but that's secondary to the Falcons' success in 2025.
You know what you know. And those are the guys you want to get grouped and get them headed in the right direction as soon as you can. And that's what you want to do with this team.
Those relationships are so, so important. We've had this conversation this week with Atlanta United. You know, guys who are trying to build chemistry, sometimes it's not there and you can't force it. Guys who can build chemistry, hang out off the field, become buddies, they're going to play better together on the field. When Penix does those crazy things, they're going to know what he's going to do. They're going to feel like they're inside his head. That makes the team better. If Pitts is part of that crew, cool, roll, let's go. If he's not, then, move on.
I mean, and we kind of just saw a little bit of this with the Hawks, right? Like the DeJounte Murray thing did not work out. You moved on like you should have, and you got some pieces in here. I mean, Dyson and Richeuchet look like the pieces you need to go with a Trey and a Jalen, right, to move forward. And that's what we need here on both sides of the ball. And if Pitts is gonna be that guy, cool, let's roll. If not, let's go get somebody who is. Because ultimately, it's about trying to win a championship at some point. So, however, hook or by crook, whatever we need to do to make that happen. That's what we need to do. When honestly, I feel like Kirk Cousins sitting on the bench is a part of that. Holding that clipboard and trying to get that $10 million back now that you're not going to trade him and he didn't waive the no trade clause and all the other things that could have happened. Now that's the best case scenario to salvage this thing and move forward to where you want to be.
Yep. If that's it, let's go. I don't think he's going to be a problem in the locker room.
I don't either. Because it's not going to do anything for you now.
It's not going
to
help him.
You pulled every stunt you could.
Yeah.
To try to get out of here, and it just didn't work. And now it really is what it is.
Yeah, and I think he just has to ride it out and then hope to move on next year. If he's going to be the backup, he'll sit and he'll be the backup. Matt Ryan will be the mentor, and hopefully we see what everybody so far thinks Michael Penix can be.
Yeah, that's what we watch for. I mean, the money's been spent. Yikes.
Yeah, but it is. Like you have to take shots in this league to win championships. And at quarterback, you've got to be the most aggressive.
Yep.
If you think he's the guy, you go spend that money, you go get him. They had plan B, and everybody killed him for having plan B.
Yep.
But plan B was right.
I know it was expensive, but I would have rather done this than be the Browns.
Yeah.
Who wants to
Are they ever going to get it right?
Nope.
Exactly.
They're
who
never
wants
gonna
to
get
be
it right.
on that forever carousel?
Yeah.
Nobody. So I would have rather done this and go ahead and nip the quarterback position in the bud, which it seems like we've done.
Yeah.
And then move on and try to figure out the rest of it. Because if you don't have a quarterback, you're dead in the water.
No, you're not winning if you don't have a quarterback. And the Falcons feel like they took two swings at quarterbacks in the same season, and it was expensive. One of them worked until he got hurt, and then he got hurt. And the other one could be the guy for a long time.
Could be, and that's what we're hoping for, folks. Hey, people are headed down to Mercedes-Benz Stadium. As Jason said, the tailgating has probably already started, and it's not 10 o'clock yet.
Grills are fired up.
We're ready to talk Atlanta United coming up in the 10 o'clock hour. Jason's here. Noel's on the side of the glass. I'm Sam. Stay with us here on Sports Radio 90.